Hi, everybody.
Respect.
Hi, Dr.
For the bell.
Yeah, respect for the bell. Welcome back to Crunch Time, final segment on a Wednesday. That means Crunch Exchange time. I'm going to give Steve some stories from around the world of sports. He's going to tell us if he's buying or selling the prospectus from that story. Also, there is a pending option, which he uses sometimes. Oregon and Michigan get things rolling in the Sweet 16 tomorrow at 4:10 with a chance to play the winner of Purdue and Kansas in the Elite Eight. Oregon's second straight trip to the Sweet 16 in program history. For Michigan, it's their 15th ever, third since 2013. This year has been an interesting one for both squads. Everyone here knows about Chris Boucher's injury, but Oregon has soldiered on behind the Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Year, Jordan Bell, Pac-12 Overall Player of the Year, Dylan Brooks, and they've done so with Brooks not particularly playing well in the tournament. Michigan also well known for having survived a plane crash and since then beating Purdue, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oklahoma State, and Louisville. They are on a roll, and Vegas loves rolls. So they have the Wolverines a one-point favorite in tomorrow's game, despite Oregon having seven fewer losses and all those things I mentioned earlier. The prospectus, Steve, you buy or sell Michigan as the favorite in tomorrow's game?
A little confused. I think sometimes Vegas likes to lure people into certain things. Michigan is a monster national brand. They draw a lot of attention in a game like this. So Oregon's a better team. I actually think Oregon is going to win a close game, so I'm going to sell that.
The Pac-12 has three teams left with shots to get to the Elite Eight and beyond. Arizona will play the 11 seed Xavier with a chance to play either Gonzaga or West Virginia. Get into the Final Four. UCLA plays Kentucky, then the winner of North Carolina and Butler. Oregon, as we know, plays Michigan, then the winner of Kansas and Purdue for a chance for their first ever Final Four. So it's on the table, at least the chances there. Arizona was seemingly the easiest shot on paper facing an 11, then probably the biggest tournament overachievers ever in Gonzaga. Wait, is it overachievers? Is that right?
Underachievers.
Underachievers. Okay, there you go. Thank you. Glad I asked. UCLA and Oregon have their work cut out for them, especially the Bruins. But how about it? The prospectus. The Pac-12 will get two teams in the Final Four this year.
I'm a victim of circumstance. I'm going to sell that. Not sold.
Fair enough. Washington basketball in the news this week for their coaching move. First, they fired a guy widely regarded as one of the best people in the sport, Lorenzo Romar. But he hadn't had a good season in a while, and this season was the worst. He had, as a head coach, despite having the number one pick in the draft on his roster, he had a huge recruiting class coming in, but was shown the door anyways. The Huskies then quickly hired Mike Hopkins to a six-year deal. Hopkins had been the coach in waiting at Syracuse with Boeheim, who many expected to retire after this season, give way to Hopkins. So much for that. It seemed like either way, Washington was going to be going for the prospect of success, if not a sure thing. Romar with his recruiting class, Hopkins in hoping that Syracuse knew what they were doing, keeping him in their pocket for so long. Now Hopkins will likely have to start from scratch with a completely empty cupboard. So the prospectus, Washington making the move at head coach was a good one.
Well, they're still in the running. He's saying Missouri, Virginia, Oklahoma, and Washington are down to it.
You're talking about the recruit, Michael Porter Jr.
Michael Porter. So it's not like they hired Hopkins and lost Porter yet.
Yep.
The fact they're in danger of losing him makes you kind of pause for a moment. But I at 2-16 in a free fall, not having been to the tournament 6 years, as much as everybody likes Coach Romar and it was a surprise, I don't know how you look your fan base and your alum in the eye and say, we think this is going in the right direction. So I guess I'll sell that.
Washington making the move at head coach was a good move is the perspective.
So I'm selling. I'm buying it. Thank you for the help there.
Sure. Yeah, it seems like you can only not win games for so long.
I almost did a double negative there.
Yeah. A lot has been made this week about the NBA players taking days off. The consensus seems to be that the NBA schedule is too long, tough, kind of packed together so that the need to rest exists for them. Therefore, coaches and players see the value in it so they can be fresh for playoff runs. Spurs have done it to perfection for years, but people seem to be getting on LeBron for doing it because he's LeBron. Steve Kerr came forward and doubled down this week. He said the 82-game schedule is too much and that he would take a pay cut to drop it down down to 75 games instead. He said it was something everyone would have to agree on and that it is, you know, unlikely that it would happen because of all the money at stake for the players. The NBA randomly adopted the 82-game schedule in 67-68, and since then, no one has agreed that it's a good number. But if money is involved, chances definitely seem slim to change it. The prospectus, you buy or sell that the NBA PA would agree to pay cuts to lower the amount of games?
First of all, seven games, so they play all of November, December, January, February, March, half April. So it's one game a month, in essence. First of all, the owners, the players' union, agreeing to a pay cut. Yeah. Let's just get that off the table. So no, not even sort of sell.
All right, follow up to that. Do you think the NBA should step in and dictate days off for players to protect their brand?
Something's got to be done because fans really, especially in this day and age, I don't think there's as much territorialism where everybody in Oregon is a Blazer fan and everybody in New York is a Knicks fan. Notice how I just dismissed that there would be Nets fans. A lot of young guys grow up liking Kobe, liking LeBron, liking Durant. So it does have to be addressed. How, I don't know. So by merely taking steps at the top, I think I'm agreeing, so I'll buy it.
Here's a random one. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is awesome. Don't care about your opinion on that, Steve, because he is. I have now watched Moana three times in the last 3 days. His take on Maui singing songs.
Oh, to have a five-year-old.
Fantastic. Not to mention, he's just a nice dude. Anyway, he posted on Instagram a picture of him golfing on the set of his HBO show Ballers. In it, he claims the longest drive in history is 515 yards in 1975. The actual record for longest recorded drive is 506 yards in South Africa in 2012 by Nuko Grobelaar in a longest drive competition. 506 yards.
Fake news.
The Rock claims he hit one 490 just messing around on set the other day. Now, he's a massive human being, but we all know that a golf shot isn't about size and strength as much as torque and fundamentals of the swing. That said, The Rock is a massive human being and a really good athlete. The prospectus, you buy or sell Dwayne Johnson rocking a 490-yard drive on the set of Ballers.
I'm going to need A, the video, B, the audio, C, the timestamps, D, an overhead shot, E, that
tracker they use. You need the tracer.
That might be the easiest sell in the history of the Crunch Exchange.
I knew you'd love that one. We're speaking of ones you're going to love. World Baseball Classic, Steve. It has been a sneaky fun event this year, even if being completely overshadowed by college basketball. The United States is in the final. After beating Japan yesterday, they will play Puerto Rico for the title. You hate the tournament. That much is clear. Despite the competition and the fact that really good players participate, not all of them do, and it has been an uphill battle to be viewed as legit. Dane Perry of CBS Sports came up with a way to get more people like you interested in its, you know.
That's not you. You can't be like me because I'll never care.
And he's basically trying to copy March Madness here. So bear with me. Right now, four countries face off in four different pools, which then moves on to two pools, which becomes the semifinals, which becomes the finals. His suggestion is a Sweet 16 format. 12 legacy powers like Cuba, the U.S., Japan get automatic berths while a committee votes on the other four, or they compete for the right to get in. This would shrink the time frame, which means it could avoid March Madness, get more players interested in playing, as the risk and time commitment wouldn't be as big. The prospectus, changing the format is a good way to get more people into the WBC.
I'm not people. There's no format that could ever get me interested. So for other people, I'm sure it could be tweaked. But you lost me at W when you said WBC. So thinking of others, knowing that I'm completely disconnected and will never care about baseball until they throw the first pitch of the regular season in MLB, I'll buy it.
Nice.
Can I be more dismissive?
One more here. Staying in the international competition category, the Olympics and the NHL. Not going to be a thing, apparently. Commissioner Gary Bettman said it dropped a bomb this week, saying that he is assuming at this point that the NHL will not send any players to the Winter Olympics in South Korea in 2018. If that's the case, then literally no one will care about the sport at the games other than the minor league players involved and their parents. The obvious issue here is that the Olympics happen during the NHL's regular season. Some owners have said they'd have no problem sending their players over for a chance at a gold medal, but it appears the league is set against it right now. Huh. The prospectus, you buy or sell zero NHL players will go to South Korea.
If the league says no, they won't. I am a big Winter Olympics junkie. It's like normally I say I don't want my basketball players playing the Olympics. I don't want my baseball players playing the Olympics or the WBC. Hockey in the Olympics with NHL players kicks ass. I love it. So if that's what they're saying, I'm actually going to buy that it's over and none of them are going.
So you're going to buy that?
Yeah. I do buy that, and I'm kind of sad about it.
That's what the commish says.
Maybe my favorite international competition.